So we're talking about lighthouses, and I want to see what you guys already know about lighthouses. This question kind of got answered already, but just for all the grown-ups who fell asleep at that part, can you tell me what are lighthouses for? What do they kind of do? Eli, what do they do? To not run into the rocks. So where do people usually build lighthouses? On shores. Where, though, on the shores? Do they usually build them on a sandy beach?
No.
Why do you think they do that? Ashley, you already gave us one. What was it? That's right. So you can see where the rocks are. And often rocky spots are higher, aren't they? Like the sandy beach is way down at the level of the water. So if you build them up on the rocks, up on a cliff, ships are able to see the lighthouse from a lot further away on the ocean, right? And that also means you don't have to build the lighthouse quite so high so that it's way up in the wind where the wind can beat it up and that sort of thing. So, and it makes it a little cheaper to build. They also build them on rocks so that they don't just fall down, right? Because if you build it on sand and then the water comes up and eventually, right? That's no good. So they have to build it on the rocks just so it doesn't fall down. Well, and there's two other reasons. Another reason people build them on rocks is because their main purpose is to show people where the rocks are, just like Ashley said, right? They're almost always built in a rocky spot because, and this is important, because this is where you have to build a harbor. What is a harbor? Sam, what's a harbor? Right, where ships dock. Can you build a harbor on a sandy beach?
No.
What's the problem with that plan? For one, it's not steady, but also the ships can't get there, right? The bottom of the ship is underwater. It's going to bump into the sand when it's still far away from land. That's not going to work. So you have to build harbors in rocky spots. And so since the lighthouse's job is to help you find the harbor, they have to build it on the rocks. Now, let me see if I can trick you guys a little bit. Do you think lighthouses are supposed to make ships aim at them or aim away from them? It's both. You are smart. I couldn't trick you. They are actually meant to do both. And I'm going to talk about that a little later in the message. But I want to talk a little bit about the background of this song. So the song My Lighthouse is written by a musical group called the Wren Collective. And the Wren Collective are a band from the country called Ireland. And Ireland is not really a bright, hot, sunny place that you would go to lay on the beach and get a nice tan. Not too many people get a sunburn when they go visit Ireland. It's beautiful and green, but it's very rocky and not that warm. And because it is an island with a lot of rocky shores, it also needs a lot of lighthouses. And I am told that there are at least 70 lighthouses still working around Ireland today. So if the band who wrote the song My Lighthouse is from Ireland, I bet they would have seen some lighthouses in their life, right? I wonder if maybe one day one of the band members was looking at a lighthouse like that on a dark, windy night, and maybe that songwriter was looking at how that light is shining in the darkness on that windy night and says, wow, you know, God's love is kind of like a lighthouse in my life. And then they started thinking about what does the Bible have to say about God being like a light in the darkness? So now we're going to look at the words of this song and see what the Bible does have to say about how God's love is like a lighthouse. And this song was actually picked by Sally Etter and Alan Shafrick and Ashley Bover. But I'm going to ask Alan to be my reader today. So Alan, can you read the first verse for us?
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea.
Okay, thank you, Alan. The first line is kind of interesting, I think. In my wrestling and in my doubts. It talks about how the songwriter is wrestling and doubting and even failing. These songwriters seem to be admitting that they wrestle when it comes to believing in God. They have doubts. And they may wonder, God, are you really up there? Are you really listening? Do you really care? If you do care and you're all powerful, why do so many bad things happen down here on earth? And I wonder, guys, do you think it's okay for followers of Jesus to have doubts sometime? Or is that wrong? You think it's okay? I think you're right. I think it is okay. In fact, I wonder if the grown-ups know what the name Israel means in Hebrew. Buck, what does Israel mean? It means they struggle with God. God's chosen people are the ones who struggle with Him. Have you ever thought about that? People who don't believe in God don't have spiritual tug-of-wars in their lives like we do. When you believe in God, that's when the world starts to be turbulent. When you say, how do I make sense of this? How, if God is so good, is the world the way it is? And God expects faith to be a struggle, I think. If there was never any doubt, I don't think it would be real faith at all, actually, if you could know beyond the shadow of a doubt. So God tells us that we are supposed to hope in things that we can't see yet. I don't think God's upset when we struggle. He is only sad when we give up, if we stop struggling and we just turn away and go the easy route. Now, kids, this is where the troubled sea part comes in. This song says that God is the peace in our troubled sea. What is a troubled sea? What does he mean by that? Yeah? Water when it's stormy, right? Have any of you ever been on a boat, either on a big lake or on an ocean, and it got really stormy?
Yeah.
The sun disappears, and you can't see which way you're going, and the waves throw you back and forth. You get wet, and you get cold, and sometimes in life, things happen that make us feel like we're in a storm. Even if we're not literally standing in the rain, something really bad happens. Maybe we lose our jobs, or maybe we lose a friend, or maybe somebody that we love dies. And we call those times the storms of our life. And that's the times when we might say, well, God, if you really love me, why are you letting me be caught in this storm? And God can answer, well, so that you can see the lighthouse. Think about this. On a really bright and sunny day, can you see the light of a lighthouse?
No.
You can't. Why not? That's right. You can't. The lighthouse has no purpose, or at least you don't see its purpose when it's so bright out. And think about the stars. You know how we always say, oop, the stars are coming out at night? Do stars really come out at night?
No.
They're always up there, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you can't see them when it's bright out. Aren't you glad that it gets dark sometimes so you can see the beautiful stars?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have stars without the nighttime. And in the same way, you would never know that the lighthouse is there to guide you if you were never out on the ocean in the dark. Darkness is what makes the light shine brighter. So I'm going to let Alan read another part of the song, and then I'm going to tell you a little Bible story. Can you read the bottom part there, Alan?
In the silence you won't let go, in the questions your truth will hold, your great love will lead me through, you are the peace in my troubled sea.
Let me read you a little story about Jesus out on a troubled sea in the dark. You've probably heard this one before, but it's a good one to listen to again. And it comes from Mark chapter 4. So here we go. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they left the crowd behind, and they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. Squall, that's another word for a storm. And the waves started breaking over the boat, whoosh, to that where it was nearly swamped. That means the boat is filling with water. What happens when it finally fills? Bloop, 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 right? Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Sleeping. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you even care if we drown?" And Jesus got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And his disciples were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So what's Jesus doing during this storm again?
Sleeping.
Well, what does that tell us about Jesus? That he's a good, that he's a deep sleeper, right? It tells us that he must have been really tired to be able to sleep through a storm. But it also tells me that he has a lot of faith in his Father. See, the storm didn't scare him. He knew that God's great love will lead him through. So he had peace in his troubled sea. And he also had the power to calm that stormy sea. It's good to know that we are trusting in a God who has the power to make the wind and waves suddenly stop. But sometimes he doesn't. God doesn't stop the storms of life. He lets them go on and on. People get sick and they don't get better. Sometimes we lose our jobs and we can't find another one. And we might ask that same question that the disciples were asking Jesus, Master, don't you care if we're drowning here? And Jesus may just answer, I may not always protect you from the storm, but I will always protect you in the storm. Because where was Jesus in that storm? Was he over there saying, well, you guys are in this storm, I'm going to be over here. Where was he? He was in there with them, right? And God promises that he will always be with us too. And that leads us to the chorus. Alan, can you read that next chunk for us?
My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
Notice what the songwriter said. They don't always assume that God is going to stop the storm. Can he? Yeah, he can. But they do trust that God will be with them in the storm and that he will get them where he wants them to go. They will get to the other shore. There's another Bible story where a guy named Paul gets caught in another storm on the ocean in a boat. Paul is being taken to the city of Rome on the ocean on a boat to tell the king of the whole Roman Empire about Jesus. This is a pretty exciting moment. And then the ship gets caught in a storm. And all the sailors are freaking out. They're trying to get into the lifeboats and escape from the ship because they're pretty sure that the boat is going to sink. And this is what Paul tells the sailors. The story's in Acts 27, but I'll just give you a paraphrase today. Paul says, guys, God told me that he is going to give me a chance to tell the king of Rome about Jesus. And I believe him. So I promise that all the sailors, if they will just stay on this ship with me, they will all make it safely to shore. So guys, don't get in the lifeboats. Stay here in the ship and trust that God has a plan and you will get through this storm. Was he right? Did they make it?
Yes.
Everyone who stayed on the ship made it to the shore. And kids, God has a plan for each of you. If you trust him, you can't go wrong. And you don't have to be afraid of the storms that are coming up in your lives. By the way, there will be storms in your life. Everybody here who hasn't had storms in their life, raise your hand. Not seeing a lot of hands. The storms of life come, don't they? Yeah. But you can be sure that Jesus will lead you through them. And that leads us to the next verse. Alan, can you read the next verse for us?
I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea.
There's one more little Bible story that I think the songwriter may have been thinking of when they wrote this song. And that's the story of God leading his people, Israel, out of Egypt. You know Egypt where they built the pyramids? You've heard this story before? And they were slaves there, but God rescued them. But then he had to bring them from Egypt to a land that he promised to give them to live. But there was this certain path that he wanted them to follow to get there. So the Bible says that God himself led them. And he gave them something they could see, which they could follow all the way to their promised land. He gave them a big pillar of cloud in the daytime. And I'm guessing maybe it would have looked a little like a tornado. That's how I kind of picture a pillar of cloud, because that's kind of what a tornado looks like, right? Just follow the tornado. And then they were supposed to follow this tall, skinny cloud wherever it went. But there's one little problem. Maybe you've noticed this too. Isn't it kind of hard to see the clouds at nighttime? Unless it's a really bright moon or something. You can't always see the clouds at night. So how are they going to know where they're supposed to go if it's nighttime? Anybody know? What? Pillar of fire. Very good, Ashley. Yeah. That pillar of cloud suddenly turns into a pillar of fire. And it says this in Exodus 13. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar or cloud left its place in front of the people. So now I'm imagining like a giant fire tornado. That would be pretty cool, hey? Yeah. That would be, I got to admit, that'd be cool. And I was thinking that maybe that's what the songwriter was thinking about when he or she wrote this next little part. Alan, can you read that?
Fire before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storms.
Fire before us, you're the brightest, and you will lead us through the storms. I wonder if maybe that's what they're thinking. The pillar of fire is shining in the darkness, leading Israel to the promised land. And God is promising to lead us to our own promised land, which we call heaven. But we don't have a pillar of fire, do we? At least I haven't seen one. I'd really like to see a fire tornado, but I haven't seen one. So how do I know how to get to my promised land? How do I know how to get to heaven? Has God given us something that lights our way, that shows us how we're supposed to get there? Yeah, what do you think? Jesus, definitely. And yet, I can't see Jesus either. So if I'm looking around, how do I know which way Jesus wants me to go if I can't see him? It's the Bible, which sometimes we call the Word of God. And this reminds me of one of my favorite Bible verses. I hope you guys will remember this one. Maybe we can say it together. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The word of God is like a lamp and a light for our path wherever we go. The Bible is like God's lighthouse, showing us which way to go. Okay, now I finally want to go back to the beginning part. And remember I asked you, are we supposed to aim our ships right at the lighthouse or not?
Both.
Yeah, and we said both, right? This is why. The lighthouse is sitting up on a pile of rocks, which if you actually hit the rocks, if you get too close, you'll break your ship. But the lighthouse is usually built close to the harbor. And a harbor is a deep spot on the shore where ships can get close to the land and unload their stuff. Ships actually have to get close to the rocks or they can't do their job. Think about it, right? Ships aren't just out for sailing in the middle of the ocean. They have to come back to land, but they can't hit the rocks or they sink. So the lighthouse is doing two things. It's showing us where to go. It's also showing us where not to go. And the Bible does that same thing for us. It tells us the things that we should do, but it also tells us the things we shouldn't do. The problem is that some of us like the parts of the Bible that tells us the nice places that God wants to take us, but we don't really like listening to the parts that tell us where we're not supposed to go. And if we try to do all the do stuff and just ignore all the don't stuff, we're still going to crash on the rocks, and we won't make it to the shore. But you know, there is a way that we could live without a lighthouse. What if we just decided to live on our boat out in the middle of the ocean? We just stayed far away from the land. What do you think?
You would run out of food and water.
Yeah, you're right. There's a definite problem here. It seems to me that there is no way for us to just stay out in the safe spot all the time. You have to get into places where you could crash. Let's imagine, because I'm kind of using a parable here, and I'm saying that if this is our lives, what are the rocks? It'd be temptations, right? And honestly, I think the rocks, most of the time, are where other people are. As soon as you get close to other people, that's where the temptation starts. That's where the unforgiveness starts. That's where the sin happens almost always when you're with other people. The rocks are anywhere that we could possibly get shipwrecked. And here's the other bad part. Those people in the world who are not watching the lighthouse are crashing all over those rocks. So when you get close to those rocks, you're already going to find that there's broken people everywhere with their baggage laying everywhere, stuck. And we meet them all the time, don't we? We sometimes prefer just to not even go close to the rocks because those people's lives are a mess. And if we go close to them, it's just going to give us extra work to do. And you know what? We might even get tempted to fall on the same rocks that they do. So maybe we should just stay far away and then we'll be safe. Well, it sounds like a good plan, but it is not God's plan. If you choose to follow Jesus with your life, He is definitely going to lead you to some dangerous places. Jesus is calling us to live our lives right along those rocky shores. That's what Jesus is always calling His people to do. We have to get close to the rocks. We have to take some risks. But if our job is to rescue people in the dark, which, by the way, is actually pretty normal because people usually crash their boats in the darkness, then we need to have our eyes glued to that lighthouse. If we do, we will be able to get close to the rocks where we can help people without actually crashing on them ourselves. And I'm thinking it may not be a coincidence that only 10 minutes before I wrote this part of the sermon, I was talking back and forth with Brendan about this very thing. We have all kinds of things going on in our lives, different hobbies that we have, different interests, different places we need to go for business, friends that don't know the Lord and live very differently than us. And we realize that all of the places where we find people who need the light of Christ are also the places that we ourselves are likely to get shipwrecked. You ever thought about that? Chasing your hobbies, visiting those non-Christian friends, doing community stuff. Now, let me be very clear. God wants His people to go to motorcycle rallies, some of them. He wants some of us to go to rodeos. He wants some of us to go to fishing derbies and dance recitals and hockey tournaments because there are lost souls in all of these places. But all of these things can become spiritual rocks and jags for us too. Things that pull us away from God where we are no longer going where He wants us to go. They can be distractions and diversions. They can shipwreck us. That's why we need a lighthouse, to help us sail near the rocks without crashing on them ourselves. So people, let's get out in our community. Let's chase our hobbies. But for every hour that we're spending out there in our hobbies, in the spiritual dark, if you like, I want to suggest you should probably spending an hour staring at the light. Otherwise, the darkness starts to consume you too. Look at Jesus in prayer, as Ashley said, and in the Bible, as Sam said. A sailor who hopes to navigate along the rocks in the dark while he's watching the rocks is never going to make it. So I want to pray for God to show us how we can keep our eyes on the lighthouse so that we can help other people.